Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Peter Welch, I know that you have some real concerns about the coal miners in this country and the coal workers. What's this all about?
We've got to create an alliance between people in green states and people in the coal states about the future of this country. And there's two issues. One is climate change is a huge issue. It's something Vermonters are really concerned about. But I have colleagues in Congress who resist anything related to climate change because they fear, and I understand this, loss of jobs in coal country. Now, the reality is that we need a new energy policy, and the coal jobs that we're losing are partly because of the transition from coal to gas, and that's really much more about market than anything else. To some extent, mechanization in the coal industry. But the other thing is that regulations do have an impact. So I'm creating an alliance with my coal country colleagues saying, let's provide aid and assistance to the transition to your coal workers so that when we go past coal, pardon me, we'll be able to make certain that they have a good livelihood and those communities don't fall apart.
So, you know, you raise a fascinating subject, as always, Peter, which is the relationship between the old way we do things, coal, and now gas. A lot of people are really opposed to fracking, which brings on this gas. And so we have this competition between these various, you know, fuels. What do you make of that? I know it's a little off the subject, but it's fascinating.
Well, it is. I mean, the whole energy environment has changed dramatically with the explosion of gas production. And in fact, with fracking, which has got a lot of problems associated with it, it has resulted in our country becoming a net exporter of fuel as well as natural gas. So there have been real economic benefits in some parts of the country. But there's also been huge job losses in the coal country. And in fact, I think that what we need is a combination of strong environmental safeguards, whatever the production process is. But I also think where there's this disruption in coal country, it's important for us to provide worker assistance so they can make the transition. And one of the reasons I want to do that is so that we can have a conversation about a new energy policy, including green energy and renewable energy, where it's not perceived by the folks in coal country that those of us who are advocating clean energy are out to get the jobs of the hardworking people in their districts. And I'm working with this David McKinley, a Republican of West Virginia, and he and I have teamed up on energy efficiency measures. But the point that I believe is really important for all of us to understand is that these folks in coal country, they've really been doing the job of keeping the lights on in America for over 100 years. And it's not like the workers created global warming. So we've got to help them. We've got to respect the lifetime of work, the generations in families that have worked hard to power America.
Now, you know, Peter, I've talked to several people who used to be really down on coal, but who aren't as much so now. Maybe they talk in terms of transition, you know, well, coal isn't really that bad. On the other hand, you get all of the people, the environmental types, who are really ticked off about the disfiguring of the land and everything else that comes out of coal. So is coal making a comeback in terms of public perception?
No, I don't believe it is. Frankly, I don't think it should. But there's a difference between coal as an energy source and coal workers. You know, one of the reasons I got involved in this is when I went to see David McKinley in his office, he had this life-size photo of this coal worker coming out of the mine being greeted by his probably 8 or 9 year old daughter. And it was really a portrait of a real hardworking American in the job that he could get, which would allow him to raise his family, have some pride in his work, was digging in the coal mines. And, you know, we had machine tool workers in Vermont. We have farmers. We have all kinds of examples in all of our states of really hardworking people, and they do what needs to be done. They're not the ones that decide on energy policy. So what I saw was an opportunity for me to link with him, not around coal, because he and I disagree about that, but around coal workers. And if we can provide those workers with an alternative, then we may be able to find a way forward where we're not relying on what I think is a very damaging carbon fuel source.
So what exactly is in the HELP Act that will help these workers?
Well, it's modeled after the transition assistance, which is extended unemployment, also extensive training, and also some community help that we've had in our trade agreement legislation, where as a result of trade agreements, there's been some recognition that there can be real dislocation for workers. You know, it's also something we used when we started going after tobacco. You know, tobacco farmers didn't create the link between tobacco and cancer. They were producing a product that was really popular. And when we were getting taken away the subsidies for tobacco, we started helping the farmers with some financial aid so that they could start producing other crops that were healthy. So, you know, when you're making a transition, I think it's really important to have in mind that, in fact, there are impacts on real Americans who've worked hard and done good work over their lifetime, and they're not the cause of the problem. So we've got to help them make the transition.
So we are now, we only have 3 minutes left here, but I wanted to talk to you about the United States emerging energy policy. Now, I know you're a fierce environmentalist. You believe in sustainable energy and the kinds of mechanisms that will bring that to us. But is this, it just concerns me that it may be pie in the sky.
Well, it's not pie in the sky. It's in a huge political battle. But there's two things that are going on, one aggressively and the other not. The aggressive one is, of course, the increasing production of energy domestically. I mean, oil and gas production are just about at their peak. And, in fact, the U.S. is a net exporter.
Mm.
And, of course, with the price of gas being relatively low, it's given some of our manufacturers a competitive advantage. So there's been some economic upside. And the price of gas is lower than it's been in quite a while, which is money in the pocket for consumers. But the second aspect of energy policy that needs much more focus is on energy efficiency, renewables, and sustainable energy. And the reason I say that is two things. Number one, we can create lots of jobs, millions of jobs, if we move towards energy efficiency. That not only cuts down on carbon emissions, but folks who get involved in energy efficiency have good jobs at good pay. Number two, it's really important because climate change is real. I mean, you know, to the extent that you have the price of energy going down, it's good because that helps the economy. It helps the pocketbook of everyday people. But it shouldn't become an excuse for us to let down our alertness about the threat of climate change. And in fact, it's the Pentagon. The Pentagon just came out with a study where they identified climate change as a threat to national security. And the reason is because the disruptions that will be associated with this wild weather, rising seas, things that are happening are going to create the kind of insecurity and instability that leads to a lot of conflict. So we've got to focus on a new energy future, even as we take advantage of the energy boom.
Peter Welch, always love to talk to you. You're a smart guy, and I always like talking to smart people because I always learn from them. And when we come back the next time, let's go to the Middle East, okay?
Yes.